Let go of dissension. Ponder that just a little bit. As we prepare to begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Most kind and wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, God, you loved us before there was an us. And God, I thank you for each one that you have brought today, that we can hear what you have for us, that you speak the words, and that we could hear. God, it is a blessing to come together and we visit and we talk and we rejoice. But God, we also look forward to a time when your Son ushers in this new kingdom, the one that changes everything. And you allow us to be a part of what you are doing now. And we just trust that we can follow your lead. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk about a dissension. We could also say, let go of friction. Let go of strife. Let go of discord, rivalry, contention. When you think about what this is leading to, is relationship. We're all in this event, this world called life. And relationship is what God desires with each one of us and how we react and love and work in lives with one another. I want to paint a picture. The YouTube video was a little too long to play it, but it comes from a show that was in Denmark. And it's All That We Share. And I was reminded of Miles McPherson's book that we talked about, the things that we have more in common than what we don't have in common. What they had was a room much like this, but on the floor they had taped squares. And some boxes were the size of this section of chairs. Others were enough to fit four or five people, but they were all sizes, just all over the place. And they invited people to come into this, and they probably had 50 people that came in, and they all stood in boxes. They didn't know what the boxes represented. They didn't know whether this box was better or worse than that box. They were there. And the gentleman running this, he said, now I'm going to pose a series of questions. Some of them could be personal, but I ask you to be very honest in your response. And as he did this, he said, I want you to move to the center box if what I'm asking fits you. Very quickly, they started figuring out this us and them mentality that people have. But the first question he asked, any of you, were you the class clown? And everybody kind of chuckles and look at each other. And then here come a few people that come up and they're very obviously the class clown because they're kind of hamming it up as they get into the square. And they shoot a picture of these people and then let them go back to their previous place. The next one is, who of you are never on time? And that was the response, some chuckles. And here comes some of these, you know, a little more sheepish. They're not hamming it up, but they're owning the fact that that's their identifier. Same thing, they shoot a picture and they go back. All those that have a tattoo, and people come in with that. Obviously, some tattoos are not to be seen, but they have them, and they own it. And it goes on, been bullied, different section, bullied other people. And again, this is mixing, and you're seeing this cross-section of people. Those that love to dance. And it was interesting because you could see these people coming up kind of in rhythm, kind of dancing their way up to this box. They were enjoying themselves, and it wasn't a threat. Who are step-parents? Again, different cross-section of people. All those that have beat cancer. And it got real quiet. But there were a few people that came up, and they've got the most gorgeous smiles on their face. But the whole point of this, what brings us together? Our differences or our likenesses? The things we have in common, so often we don't focus on. We focus on the things that draw us the other way. The whole point is getting time to know one another, to listen to each other. We all have value. We all are something, you know, God has created each one of us to be who we are. And who we are can be in a great relationship with Jesus, but a relationship with one another. We share, we talk about. This morning we were sitting at a table, three or four of us, five of us maybe, others, but we were sharing some history. And that's what it was history. But we were also sharing the relational aspect of what that was. And that's the part that comes back. When you think back through your life, what comes to the surface? Family, relationship with other people, relationship with God. These are the things that we focus on. This is where we need to keep our minds. Today we're going to go through or highlight Paul's shortest and most personal letter that was written during his first imprisonment in Rome. Philemon is the book. And don't try and turn to chapter 2 or chapter 3, because there's only one chapter. It goes by verses, chapter and verse. Philemon, who the letter was sent to, is a respected member of the church in Colossae. And the central part of the story is the story of Onesimus, a runaway slave who, after encountering Paul, becomes a Christian. There's a lot going on in just that intro. When we think about Philemon, and that the church met in his home in Colossae. But we're shown that love steps in this book as we go through. Generosity that goes the extra mile. And courage that lets us go of labels that divide us. And we're all guilty of having labels in our life. Don't you want to not be judged by your worst mistake? None of us want to have our worst mistakes brought back up. None of us want to hear anything about it. And certainly we don't want to be judged by those mistakes or that worst mistake. But we want to be connected back to those that we hurt or that hurt us. That's a part of our relationship that God created in us. He wants us to connect, to have that unbelievable blessing of healing from hurts or giving of hurts. And that's what we long for, is that relationship that is such a blessing. Begin in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So this is our introduction. Paul is writing, who he says, I am captivated by Jesus Christ. He is my master. He is my loving father, son. And Timothy, who was there with Paul, to our beloved co-worker Philemon, beloved co-worker. So he's setting the stage. He wants whoever reads this, including us, to know that Philemon was loved. To our sister Ophelia, to our fellow soldier Artrypius, and to the church in your home. So he's writing it to that group of people. But it's intended for all that read it, for it to fit. And in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a standard intro that Paul does, that he gives. He wants that to be up front. That's a part of his intro connecting to you. I thank my God always when I mention you in my prayers. So he is praying for Philemon. He knows that. He knows the church and the members there that Paul is praying. Because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the positive things that he hears from the church. I pray that the partnership of your faith may become effective as you comprehend all the good that we share in Christ. That's a collective connection, sharing with Jesus Christ. That is the bond that we all can come to. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love. Paul in prison is telling him, and think about the words of that, I have received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. We are introduced to the main players of the narrative, Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Onesimus was an enslaved person owned by Philemon. We talk about slavery, and it's not condoned. It's not something that is advocated for, but it was a part of that culture there. This is not a letter talking about do's and don'ts as far as slavery. Onesimus met Paul. You wonder how this slave that had run away from Philemon got to meet Paul in prison. We don't know the circumstances for that, but it talks about Onesimus met Paul and became a follower of Jesus. His world changed. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. Runaway slave in prison with Paul, or at least in connection with Paul, under Paul's leadership, he accepts Jesus as his Savior. Paul is in a situation now. His love for Philemon is there. His love for Onesimus is there. But Philemon and Onesimus aren't on the same page. You think about that. Paul now writes to Philemon asking him to welcome back Onesimus, not as a slave, but as a brother. You got to think about what that ramification might look like. And I'm reading excerpts from Gracecom, the devotional that I have referenced before. This happens to be one that was written by GCI President Greg. Paul wanted the slave and the master to reconcile. You think about the great peril of what that created. Onesimus, slavery, Paul sends back to Philemon. As a runaway slave, Onesimus puts himself in great peril by returning to Philemon. Under Roman law, he had no protection against Philemon's wrath, including Philemon if he decided to put him to death. Philemon is accepting back and relinquishing his ownership of him would have been a social ramification that might lead to a loss of status and influence in the community. If you think about Philemon saying, yes, I am welcoming you back, his community, his fellow slave owners are going to react. Onesimus' fellow slaves are going to react. There, you know, human nature, it would be, well, if I accept Jesus, then I'm no longer a slave. You have to let me go. There is so much going on in this narrative of these people and of Onesimus coming back to Philemon. For this reason, in verse 8, though I am more than bold enough in Christ to command you to do the right thing. This is Paul talking to Philemon. I could command you to do the right thing. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man. And now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul is basically saying, I could tell you to do the right thing. And in his position, what his weight of telling him would be catamount to, you need to do this. In other words, Philemon, the right thing to do is to release Onesimus. The right way is not always the easiest. We need to recognize that. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you. He ran away. But now he is indeed useful to you and to me as a child of God. In this verse 10, Paul leads with my child. Other translations, my son. So he is setting a very strong image for Philemon to see. Paul is looking at Onesimus as his child, as his son. And he talks about, and he is his father. There is a connection there that is huge. Paul refers to himself as his father. Onesimus can mean useful. That's what his name could mean. Paul states that he could be useful to both of us. So he is letting Philemon know where he stands, what his feeling is, what he believes in this situation. Verse 12, I am sending him, Onesimus, that is my own heart, back to you. Onesimus is very special to me, Paul is saying. He means a lot. He is my child, my son. I love him as that son. Verse 13, I wanted to keep him with me so that he might minister to me in your place during my imprisonment to the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntarily and not something forced. Paul's desire was to have the slave and the master be reconciled together, to have a relationship based in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back for the long term. Would he have ever been exposed to or in a position to accept Jesus as a slave in the care of Philemon? Possibly not. But because of that short term, now we've got a long-term relationship that can be here. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave. A beloved brother. Especially to me, and how much to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He wants Philemon to understand how important it is that Onesimus is now a child of God. In Paul's day, about 40% of people were enslaved. That's a large block of folks. Paul was making a huge request, and he knew it. But he wanted to make it as a request, not a command. Although he could have said, you need to do this. Philemon had the right to put Onesimus to death for running away. And Rome would have supported it. Paul is saying Onesimus is not merely property. He is my own heart, as Paul writes. Treat him as you would treat me. Relationship reconciled. Getting back to the real picture of what's important. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. This is Paul. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to me. Paul is stepping up and saying, I'll cover all expenses if there are any. Charge them to me. I will take care of it. And he's in prison telling Philemon this. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. Nobody is scribing this. He is writing this. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even in your own self. In Philemon's acceptance of Christ, the connection there is Paul was very instrumental in that. But he doesn't. He mentions it, but he doesn't really focus in on it. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Paul is telling Philemon, I'm confident of your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. He is letting Philemon really know how he feels about him. And it's very powerful and it's extremely positive. The message from the book of Philemon is, we can't follow Jesus and treat people like they don't matter. We belong to one another. We are family. Paul acknowledges slavery was an accepted custom. Doesn't mean he endorses it or believes it was right. He just knows that it's a part of the culture that they were living in. Paul is telling Philemon and the church that slavery may be seem normal to you. But I tell you, Onesimus is part of our family. That is a huge leap from slave to being accepted as a family member in the belief and understanding of Jesus Christ. Our true calling is to be a people united to God and united to one another. I want to read that and change one word. Our true calling is to be a people reconciled and reconciled to one another. That's who we are. We're not the people we used to be. We still make mistakes. We still have problems. We still have issues with people. And people may have issues with you. I have experienced being at odds with someone very close. It goes back to college years. It was painful. And not only was it painful for the two of us, and both of us were a little headstrong and hard-headed to be the first to say, I'm sorry, but it impacted our mutual friends. We couldn't go as a group that we once did because the two of us were at odds. And our mutual friends were friends with both of us, but because of our approach, that was tough. I remember it very clearly. And honestly, I don't remember who stepped up and said, I'm sorry first. But it changed the world for us. It changed the world for our friendships with other people. And this person is still very close to me. And we have shared mutual friendships with other people because of the closeness that we've had. God is showing us through this letter, through what Paul is writing, Relationship is so vital and so important. We don't let slavery get in the way. We don't let our faults get in the way. We let Jesus move in our lives, and that we can be reconciled to one another. Embracing diversity and rejecting all forms of bias and opposition should be natural. Mm-hmm. For some, it's a lot easier than others. Depends on the culture you grew up in, the environment you grew up in. But that's the goal. That's what we should focus on. Paul leaves us with three big takeaways found in Paul's letter to Philemon. Every life has value. Every person has infinite worth to God. There is no us and them. There's only us. We are a part of the creation of humanity. And there's only one creation of humanity. We have different races. We have different genders. We live in different parts of the world. We have different culture. But there's really only us. There's no one like the human race. Every life has value. Equality means giving up privilege. Letting go of status, pride, or social rules. From Leviticus 19:34, we're not meant to hold on to power and privilege. We're meant to give it away. Not be that person that, well, if you agree with me, we're good. Or if you don't, we're not. Or if you're in a position of leadership, if you're in a position of the boss at work, if you've been granted financial freedom that others do not have, that's a privilege. That's a privilege that was given to you. But do we value what we can do? We let go. We take people first. Focus on them. And the third takeaway, reconciliation requires sacrifice. It's not easy. A lot of times things are extremely hard. When we lay down our desire for revenge, our options, our needs to be right, our pride, we forgive. That is the message that Paul has sent through the letter to Philemon. Don't let revenge or need to be right or the value of you as a slave owner treat Onesimus wrongly. He is a child of God. He is your brother. No longer a slave, but your brother. Do we value relationships to that point that we see people as our brother, sister? Maybe we don't agree on things. Maybe we have different backgrounds and biases, but there's really only us, created by God. And He wants us to remember that. We are called to break down dividing walls, stand up against racism, treat strangers like family, give up comfort for the sake of love. We are called to live generous, sacrificial, and reconciling lives. Some days that's easier than others. Some days it's a real challenge. In Jesus, there is no them. There's only us. And that's who we are. We are in Jesus. And He loves everyone. If you'd bow your heads. Most kind and wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, God, I thank You for us, for our relationship that we have with You first and foremost. And God, we can come to You in our struggles with maybe other people that you love just as much as you love us. And God, you can help us to be reconciled in that relationship. I just thank you and I praise you for this letter that Paul wrote that you chose to include for us to understand that people around us and you are vitally important and that we can live in the world of us with you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we move to communion, I want to read from 1 Corinthians. It's going to be in chapter 10. I want to read verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The elements at the table are representative of Jesus Christ, his broken body, his shed blood, that he wants us to partake of, to remember him, to focus. This is not just today, this is future. Jesus is future, and he wants us to have what he has given to us now, knowing that we can connect, knowing that we have that future. And he talks about this meal that he shares, he will not do until he returns. I've tried many times to focus what that's going to look like when Jesus is on stage sharing his body. That's coming. But in the meantime, we're here today. We can partake of what Jesus has for us with the mindset we remember. You join me in prayer. Father God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as we come to you to celebrate, to appreciate the gift of what Jesus has done for us in giving us his body, that we can partake of, that he wants us to remember, that you have watched the whole process and you love Jesus and the Spirit and you love us. And God, I ask that you would bless the elements, that you would be with each one of us, and God, that you would instill in us what you want us to understand and to hear and to know and to believe and to remember. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue through the service, and you're free to come as you're led, and we'll partake of this communion meal.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our worship service is now ending, but we look forward to Jesus and the Holy Spirit continuing to lead and guide us. Change us every day Bring us closer to you each day. Increase our love for you and for everyone, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll close our service with Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Have a great week.